God, we want to thank you so much. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here and the family they represent, the kids that they represent. Lord, thank you that they took time out of their schedule to come to a weekend where they can learn about parenting. Lord, the importance of that. And Lord, we pray for the kids that are represented by the parents or grandparents in this room. Lord, we pray that you'd help these parents be successful in teaching their kids about you and the principles you've given us to live by. Lord, I pray that you would help them, Lord, to keep going with it. And if they get discouraged or if they stop, to get going and get back up and start again. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Well, my name is Tim Shoemaker, and this is Family Devotions That Work for Teens. All right, so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm really, really glad you're here. I'd like to start off by showing you a picture of an A&W restaurant that I saw. I was driving in Colorado, and it was near Christmas. It was 2 years ago, and I saw this on the marquee of an A&W, and I said, oh my goodness, I got to get my camera. In fact, let's go to the close-up. It says, Merry Christmas. God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. Chili, curds, fun, floats, shakes, Sunday. It's what I did too. I laughed, and I thought, oh my goodness. You know, here was an owner that had really great intentions. But he probably would have been a little better off doing things a little bit different. Would you agree? Yeah, I thought so too. Well, as parents, we can have great intentions for our kids. The kind of persons we like them to become. Especially in a spiritual sense. But sometimes we're better off doing things a little bit different to really truly be effective. Especially with teens. That's what we've been doing here this weekend, and that's specifically what we're going to talk about today. So, first thing I'd like to do is, every once in a while, we're going to call up a volunteer. We want to get through as many things as we can, so don't delay. There's nothing that's going to be really bad. Nothing bad at all, okay? So, I need a volunteer to come right up here, and they're going to shoot at a target, so please don't be intimidated. And let's get somebody up here, and we want to... Yeah, there we go. Okay. While she's standing here... And so happy that you volunteered. Let's just talk about things I think we can all agree on as parents. Especially if you're here. Especially the fact that you've come to a workshop like this. We all want our kids to grow up to be good Christians. Right? To love the Lord. To have integrity. Character. To be honest. To be the kind of person that will make you proud. Right? I mean, we all want that. Okay, how many think that that's just going to happen? All right, so you're going to help us illustrate that point. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have you shoot at that target there, okay? Now, we're going to cock it here, and we are going to take the safety off, and we'd just like you to go ahead and just aim at that, and you just go ahead and shoot when you're ready. How are we doing?
It's not working.
Okay, well, maybe we've got the... Try that again. I was thinking she is really aiming. Is it not going for you? There you go. Okay, good job. All right, hold on just right there. Now, let's do this again. But this time, I'm going to blindfold you. I sure am. Now, for those in the audience, understand, I'm going to ask you not to touch the trigger. Okay? This time, we are not going to cock it. We are going to put the safety on. Okay? But what I'd like to do is I'm going to turn you around a couple of times. I'd like you to aim where you think the target is, okay?
Gosh.
Okay. Now hold this down just a little bit, okay? Okay, so we're going to turn a couple of times, and we're going to ask everyone here to duck. No, no, it's not loaded, right? Okay, so a couple more turns, and you're good. All right, so whenever you just go ahead and aim where you think it is, then I'm going to ask you to freeze. All right, now freeze. Okay, I'm going to try not to mess up your hair. Oh, my goodness. There's somebody who's glad we didn't cock it and all that kind of stuff, right? Okay, thanks so much. You can sit down. Good job. Whoa. All right. The key to hitting your target is what? Aiming. Keeping your eye on it, right? And so the question is, what are we aiming at when it comes to kids? What are we aiming at? Unless we aim at trying to transfer these basic spiritual truths of life to them, of our faith, unless we aim at that, we're not likely to hit that target. Why? Our kids don't naturally pick up on it. They don't naturally pick up on it. Our whole world works like poison on our kids. Okay? The attitudes, the worldview, the movies, the TVs, their peers, all of that can be like a slow-working poison on our kids. And when the effects become obvious, chances are the damage is deep. Often our culture is teaching our kids that what is good is bad when what is bad is good. And so our culture is just naturally poisoning our kids. And we must actively combat that. We must work to combat the effects of it. We're going to look how to do this effectively today. Now, before we do, we want to look at some foundational issues. There's a biblical mandate. You've heard about it last night. You've heard about it this morning. And we're going to cover that quickly. But as parents, if you haven't gotten it by now, you sure should, that we have a responsibility to teach our kids about God and the principles He's given us to live by. It's our responsibility. We could go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 11. We go to Ephesians 6. And all these areas reinforce that and more. But I'd like to read you some verses out of Psalm 78. I don't think you've heard out of there this weekend, so let's look at that. I'm going to jump in and just read a few verses from Psalm 78, starting in verse 4. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and He established a law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, and they would not forget His deeds, but they would keep His commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Here's the thing. You never saw and hear where it's our pastor's job or our youth pastor's job to teach our kids. It's us. It's parents. It's grandparents. We're the ones. They're going to be teaching them. Okay? God holds us accountable. We're to teach them about these principles He's given us to live by. That's the biblical mandate. But I like this passage so much because it also talks about the practical mandate. Why does this make so much sense? There's four positive payoffs that we're going to just hit real quickly. You can look at them at home and think about that a little bit more. But four positive things that happen when we teach our kids about God. They're right in here in verses 6 and 7. And here's what it says. It says, so the next generation will know. Hey, we've got to tell them if they're to know, the next generation, okay? So the next generation will know. Number two, so the next generation would put their trust in God. Not just trusting Him for salvation, but trusting Him in life. That's what He was just talking about with the whole discipleship thing, right? And third, so they'll be obedient to God. You have to know what God is telling us to do to obey consistently, right? Okay, so they'll be obedient to God. It gives us that in verse 7. And then also so they don't forget God. Verse 7 talks about that too. Failure always follows forgetting. This psalm, it's a long one, and towards the end it talks about how the Israelites forgot God. And we read that over and over in the Old Testament, right? But it talks about the fact that they rebelled, they weren't loyal, they weren't faithful, they rejected God, they rejected His commands, they refused to live by His principles. And then we read about the anger and the punishment that came as a result. The price they paid. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. If we don't live the life, if we don't pass it on to the next generation, they're going to pay dearly for it because that's the way it is. That's the natural way. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. And just tell me if you, or make a statement, I want to see if you agree with this. Ultimately, over the long run, our kids won't be truly happy unless they learn to walk with the Lord, regardless of how good they do in school, or sports, or music, or drama. How many of you agree with that? Right, it's not a trick question, right? Now, let me take it one step beyond that. Our kids won't be truly happy no matter how good a job they land, or how much money they make, if their relationship with the Lord isn't there. Do you believe that? Right? I agree with that as well. Okay, now, the question is, if we agree with those statements, what are we aiming at? What are we aiming at? Because a lot of times what happens is we focus our efforts on education and sports and music and drama and whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but they aren't enough. They certainly aren't the most important things in life. But sometimes that's all we really emphasize. And the question is, what makes us different from any other decent family in the United States that doesn't know Jesus? We bring them to church? That's not enough. Because so many times we focus on that. And working with youth, I can't tell you how many times kids have been grounded. They can't come to a youth event because their grades are down or they're behind on their homework or whatever. And I say, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Or there's a behavior issue. They like coming to church. They like the youth group, so they cut it out. I think that's when they need it. Anyway, what are we aiming at? See, parents work hard to protect their kids in so many ways, right? When they're young, certain ways. When they get older, different ways. But helping our kids know God, trust God, obey God, and forget God, or not to forget God, goes so far towards protecting them spiritually so they don't fall prey to the enemy of their souls. One of a parent's worst nightmares would be the thought that someone's watching your kids, learning their habits, plotting to steal them from you, right? Isn't that one of your worst nightmares? Besides some tragic accident happening, the idea that somebody would kidnap your kids? When our kids were small, I worried about that. You need to remember someone is after your children. Someone is after your children to deceive them with the world's so-called truth. To steal them away from you. To steal them away from the Lord. And he's pretty successful when you hear those 75% to 93% statistics, right? Very successful. To lead them on paths that would not be God's best for them. To rob them from ever hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. But instead for them to know the bitter taste of regret. He wants to destroy your kids if he can. And he knows your kids' weaknesses. And he patiently waits. He waits for his time. We teach our kids about God, about the principles he's given us to live by, so they know him, so they trust him, so they obey him, so they don't forget him. It's a command, but it makes a lot of sense. It's all about their protection. And parents, we are about protecting our kids, right? It's time we do it spiritually. Time we work on it spiritually. So, we want to help you effectively do this. Where do you start? We get serious about our walk, and we start a family devotions time. A time when you're going to teach your kids a life lesson. Whether you feel ready or not. Okay? Alright. First I want to talk about how we're living. Because this is going to be a really important element. So I need a volunteer up here. And I need a volunteer to come up here really fast. I'd like a lady if we could. That would be the best. There's a lady. Good. Okay. Now, you're going to hold this out like a sleepwalker. Okay? And I just want you to wind this up. Okay? Keep your hands out nice and straight. And go ahead and wind this up. That's doing really good. Okay? She's doing well. All right. Go ahead and let it down. You're doing great. We can tell you've already got this thing nailed. Okay? So now let's just try this again. Okay. Let's put this down here and let's put that there. And now I'm going to hold this and I'd like you to hold your hands up, palm up. Okay. And we're going to just put a little lotion on here. Okay. To rub your hands together just a little. That's enough. Okay, good. Oh, yeah, try to keep it on the thing. Yeah, no, that's good, that's good. Nobody saw that. Okay, go ahead and try to wind it up again. We're having a little trouble. Stop. Yeah, I think we should have you stop. That's good. All right, let's clean up. All right? That's what we had a woman do it because we don't want everybody smelling like, any man smelling like lotion. Not that much. All right, we're going to just leave this right here where we've got it. Hey, I'll tell you what, it was tough enough for her to do when her hands were clean, right? But when her hands were dirty, it was impossible. That's the same thing with us, okay? If we don't take care of the sin that's in our lives, we've got dirty hands. We don't have clean hands, okay? Our life, the things we do, our attitudes, all of these are like Exhibit A, an object lesson to our kids of what the Christian life is all about. And if we're not keeping our hands clean, because we're to hold the word of life out to them, if we're not keeping our hands clean, we're not going to be able to be effective holding the word of life out to them very long. 1 Timothy 4:12 reminds us to be an example to the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. That's hard enough to do in the world. At home is where it's really critical. We've got to do that. And so if we don't have clean hands like we saw here, if we don't take care of that sin that's entangling us, we're not going to be effective holding the word of life out to our kids. We've lost our grip already. Here's the key. Our kids won't be as willing to listen to what we have to say. We can do the greatest devotionals in the world, but if they can't respect us because we're not living it ourselves, we're going to have a major disconnect. How can we inspire our kids to a deeper walk if we're not working on it ourselves? So it's not like we wait till we get perfect to start. No, we start. But be conscious of the fact that we have to work on ourselves. Because here's the thing. If I come home crabby, if I'm tired, I've had a tough day, whatever, and I justify my crabbiness, that doesn't square with God's Word, does it? Because the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining or arguing. So if we complain and argue, we are not living like Christians. Period. There isn't an excuse for that. If I love conditionally, if I hold a grudge, if I keep a list of wrongs, if I don't forgive, I can come up with excuses, but I can't get it to square with God's Word. And my life isn't consistent with that. If you're married, if I resort to punishing my mate with the silent treatment or the cold shoulder, I am not living out my faith. And the kids see this. Do you realize that a solid, loving marriage is one of the strongest ways to influence your kids for God? It's critical. When they see my marriage and say, I want a marriage where somebody loves me like that, and they know I credit my good marriage to God, that encourages kids to follow God as well. But if I get sloppy with my marriage, what message do they get? One of two things. Christianity doesn't work. It didn't work for mom and dad. Or Christianity's not worth working at. Because mom and dad didn't seem to feel it was. This is one of the big reasons why we get 75 to 93% of the kids dropping away. Because they didn't see Christianity working at home. And so if we're going to be effective teaching them things, we also have to be working on our lives. Why should we be surprised if kids stop working at it? Well, we know this stuff. But if we don't take care of it, we're like that person in James that looks in the mirror and doesn't take care of some things in your life. You could probably tick them right off. You can make a short list of the things that you really need to kind of work on in your life. Or ask your spouse if you're married. They'll help you with that. But we need to be working on that. Okay? So leading good family time, good life lesson time, a good devotional time is half the equation. But a faithful walk with Christ is the other half. And if you really want to protect your kids, if you really want them to listen, especially as they get into their teen years, you need to be working on both. Okay? Now, let's get extremely practical. We're going to run through some devotions you can do at home so that you're equipped, so that you'll have the confidence to follow or to do family devotions, even starting tonight. Now, here's the thing. Especially as the kids get older, we kind of get in the tendency of maybe wanting to go along with the kids. Remember, a devotional or these little things we're trying to do is we're trying to get a nugget of truth across them. These are not Bible studies. It's a little devotional time. This family time, this life lesson time. It's a nugget of truth. So we're not going to get into anything deep. We want to be careful about that. Now, when the kids were young, obviously it was very easy. You could sit down with a Bible picture storybook and have their attention. As they get older, that changes. Okay? So you have to put more effort into it. And I'm going to suggest you have that family devotion time once a week. The good news is you can have a lot of fun. So let's get a volunteer up here. Let's do a real easy one. Somebody just come up real quick. All right. And all I'm going to do is have you smash some tomatoes up here. We've got some tomatoes in a bag. If you want to hit them with a hammer, if you want to squeeze them, you want to step on them, whatever you want to do. I need somebody to do that. And I've got a man that is coming up. Good. Do you? Okay.
I grow them all the time.
There you go. Well, it's going to hurt you to smash these, but you can use a mallet or do your hands or whatever and turn around, face the audience, and you just go ahead and...
Wow.
Yeah. If it starts coming out, we will stop, right? Okay. Good. Well, he's doing it just a matter of a couple grips. He's smashing these great. All right, good. All right, this is good. Thank you so much. Have a seat. Okay, so we could take the kids and we could just get a bunch of tomatoes and ask them to smash the tomatoes. Now, here we're doing it inside, so we're using a baggie. When I did it with my kids, we went outside and we smashed them on the driveway by throwing them in the air and watching them splat, okay? A little more fun that way. But, so we've got these smashed tomatoes. And now we ask the kids, what should we do with these? You know, should we throw them out? Are they junk? Do we put them in the fridge? What do? We smash tomatoes. Now, you get some kids that will know that smashed tomatoes is just the beginning of some really good things, right? Most kids are going to say it's junk. But some will probably get it right. But yeah, you know what? In the hands of a chef, a smashed tomato is just the beginning of some things that they really like. Like what? Ketchup? Spaghetti? Yeah. What else? Pizza? Lasagna? Salsa? Yeah, we can keep going. A smashed tomato is the beginning of some really good things in the hands of a chef. And then we say, hey, you know what? God is like a heavenly chef. Because sometimes we're going to feel like this. We're going to feel like a smashed tomato. We're going to feel like junk. Because we're not the most handsome. We're not the prettiest. We're not the most popular. We're not the most athletic. Or maybe we've really messed up somehow. And we're going to feel like a smashed tomato. Hey, you know what we need to remember? Is that God is like a heavenly chef who makes great things out of messed up lives. And then we just briefly share the story of Moses. If your kids are older, they all know this story. So you don't, you know, go into a lot of detail. But we just sort of remind them. Hey, Moses messed up. And he probably figured he'd never get a chance again. But, you know, he had hoped to make things better for his people. Use his influence to make life easier. That wasn't God's intention. God had a much different plan for Moses. He didn't want Moses to make their life easier. He wanted Moses to set them free. And over time, God took that smashed tomato of a man and turned him into one of the greatest leaders of all time. And so, as we're talking to our kids, we need to remind them, God can use our abilities. God can use our inabilities. He can use our experiences, good or bad. Even when we've messed up, when we feel like a smashed tomato, we need to remember God's like a heavenly chef. He can make great things out of messed up lives. Could we teach him something like that? Could we go over something like that with the kids? Yes, we can. Is this a message that they need to hear? Definitely. You know, a couple years ago, there was that story about Meghan Meyer. Most of you probably remember just by hearing the name, right? Meghan Meyer thought she had made a new friend in cyberspace when a cute teenage boy named Josh contacted her on MySpace and began exchanging messages with her. Meghan, a 13-year-old, corresponded with Josh for more than a month before he abruptly ended the relationship, telling her he had heard she was cruel. Do you remember this story? Okay. The next day, Meghan committed suicide. Her family learned later that Josh never actually existed. He was created by members of a neighborhood family that included a former friend of Meghan's. It was another mom using her foolishness to help her daughter get at this girl. Meghan Meyer hanged herself in her bedroom. She was described as a bubbly, goofy girl who loved spending time with her friends, watching movies, and fishing with her dad. And that just makes me mad and furious. Here's a girl that needed to know that. She needed to know that when you feel like junk, when you feel like you've messed up, God can make great things out of messed up lives. Okay, let's look at another one. Here's another really easy one you can do. We're going to use a microwave here. So you know what we're going to do is we're going to just work with our front row right here. Rather than have a volunteer come up. And just to be safe, we're going to ask you to put on safety glasses. We never need it, really. So that's really important. So what we're going to do is we're going to take an egg. Okay, and we're going to put it in the microwave. Now, when you're going to do that with the kids, you always want to test it ahead of time. Okay, every microwave is different. In fact, I'm going to use a baggie here. You don't have to use a Ziploc. You're just going to have a bigger mess, okay? But let's say I'm going to use this, but I don't want it to seal. I'm using a Ziploc, a gallon, you know, freezer Ziploc because it's nice and heavy duty. But I don't want it to seal because big combustion chamber, not a good idea, okay? So I want to make sure that air can get in there. So I'm going to put this egg in here. We're going to set it for 4 minutes, and we're just going to let this go. Oh, there we go. Okay, good. Let's stop. All right, now, we've got ourselves a nice little mess, and it's hot, so we do want to be careful. And if we looked, we'd see steam coming out of there. So, yeah, we put an egg in the microwave, and we blow it up. All right. Now, we do this to kids. Now, let's see what you had in here. Tell me what you had in your things here for your... What did you see? No change, no change, no change, no change. Okay? No change. Was there really no change going on with this egg? No. What was happening? Cooking. Yeah, it was cooking inside. That's how a microwave works. It cooks from the inside. And we say, you know what, guys? It's just like life. See, this is a picture of what happens when we hide sin in our life. And we keep it there. And you know what? You can stand in front of the mirror and say, no change. You can come down and sit down at the table with mom and dad and we don't see any change. And you can actually begin to think that there is no change. But you got to understand that sin, deliberately hidden in your life and left there, works just like an egg in the microwave. It works like a microwave because it changes you on the inside. It changes your heart. And a couple things you can know. If you choose to leave sin in your life, it's not supposed to be there, and you just hide it there, it's always going to come out. And when it does, it's going to make a real mess. Okay? Just a quick lesson. We can share some scripture with them, obviously. We'll close the door on this mess right now, though. We share some scripture with them, and you can teach them a lesson a whole lot more effectively than if you just try to talk with them and sit them down and say, hey, you know what? Hey, kids, remember, don't hide sin in your life. Okay, we're giving them a graphic illustration. Can you do this? Yeah, a short little activity followed by some kind of a tie-in. Okay, there's more things. You have things on your outline. We're going to skip a bunch of those. There's more on there than what we could possibly do. But we'll try to demo some of those at the booth if you'd like, or I can talk to you about it later, like with the peeps. So we're going to hop right over there. That one's kind of fun. How do you start? Maybe you've tried and failed before. Maybe you've been stop and start. If your kids are in their teens, is it too late? No. No, it's not too late. I'd start out by talking to the family. And you say something like this. Hey, I'd like to carve out a little bit of time every week where we look at some principle from God's Word as a family. And that's all you say. Okay? Don't expect them to do cartwheels because they're not going to like this idea, most likely. But you just press ahead. Make your first devotional short and fun. Short and fun. You want them to get the message that this isn't going to be bad without you telling them. And that's the key. Don't sit there and say, hey, we're going to have a lot of fun and all that kind of stuff, okay? Sometimes we try to sell it in advance. Forget about it. Why? That'll work against you. Because if you've got teenagers, most of them would die to think that your definition of fun and theirs is the same. Right? So if whatever you do, it can't be fun. So they're going to resist it more. So just say, hey, we're going to look at this time. They're going to think it's going to be boring. That's okay. You're going to show them something different. Okay? Let them find out for themselves. Now, what if one of the kids is older and they feel that, you know, having this family time like this is below them? Well, you ask for their help. You ask for their cooperation. And maybe you make them your assistant, your helper. The one we did with the shooting, we actually do that in one of the devotional books. That's just a devotional talk about, hey, where do you want to go? What kind of Christian do you want to grow to be? And how are you going to get there without aiming? Okay? So we'd say, okay, listen, we're going to do this thing with your brothers and sisters this weekend, and we're going to have to pick up an airsoft gun or something. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to put you in charge of the gun. Okay? In fact, beforehand, you and I will practice just a little bit, make sure that, you know how to work this or whatever. And your job is going to be, when it's time to hand it to them to shoot it, you hand it to them, and you're going to try to make sure that they don't, shoot out a window or put out somebody's eye or something like that, okay? Now, the fact is, see, you're making them part of it. They feel different. They feel special, and chances are they're going to be okay with it. Are they still learning the lessons? Yeah. And you know what else is great? As they get older, someday they're in a family situation. Comes time for them to do it. They're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to help with that at home. You're training them. So that's a good thing. Okay, what if one of the kids just rebels with you on it? They don't tend to give you a chance. Okay, I would talk to them one-on-one. Earnestly explain as part of your God-given duty. You need to do this. You wish you'd started sooner if you had. If you're scared about doing it, tell them. Be vulnerable. Okay? But then you take it on different levels. Only go as far as you need, but you might start out by saying, you know what, would you do it for your brothers and sisters? There's some things here they really need to hear. Okay? And if they'll suffice with that, don't go any farther. Don't give them, every bit of ammunition you've got, all right? If that's not good enough, ask if they'll do it for you. Tell them it's important or how important it is to you, okay? Third, do it for their sake. Would you do it for your sake? I've got to warn you about some traps and some dangers out there. Would you do this? I'm trying to help you, okay? And only as a last resort would I use the fact it wouldn't be wise for them to get in God's way. It sort of sounds like you're using the Bible as a club, and we don't want to do that. But we also have to tell them the facts. You know, the Bible says, honor your mother and father. That'll go well with you, right? And so if they're resisting you, they are squaring off against God. Scary thought. Okay? So you just might say, look, it's not me you'd be resisting. You'd be resisting God because He's made it really clear to me I was supposed to do this. Would you go with me on this? Okay? All right. If you've got a son or daughter rebelling, remember who your real adversary is. He's already trying to take them away. And so pray. Pray. Don't get mad at them. All right? Now, it's really important to pick devotionals that they'll at least tolerate and hopefully enjoy. So be careful what you're picking out. Okay? Now, one other question If anybody fits in this category, see me at the booth. I can help you through with this. But what about the woman who wants her husband to take the lead in family devotions, but he doesn't seem to want to pick up the ball? That's a really common thing. I can help you understand what he's thinking and how to start, how to really help make that difference. So if that's something you'd like to talk about, catch me at the booth. All right, let's go ahead. There's one, taking a stab at kindness. We'll do that at the booth. Puking pumpkin, you know, that's a great one to do. Let's just kind of do that real quick here. But in lieu of a pumpkin, you can just cut out a pail, okay? So what we want to do is, let's say we're talking to kids about honesty. And what I've got is, I've got one little beaker of solution inside here, okay? And I've got just a little bit of stuff right here, okay? Not much, but it's enough, okay? So we're going to talk to our kids about honesty, so I'm going to pour that in there. And I should have had my safety glasses on. I didn't think about that. That's okay. Okay, now, meantime, we've got a reaction going on in there, okay? And so we'll just let that kind of work. Yeah, that thing just keeps foaming and foaming and steaming there. It's really kind of a neat thing. And here's the point, is you saw that little solution we put in there? Did you notice how little we put in? A little goes in and it just keeps gushing out. You know, that's what happens when we're dishonest. You know, a little lie, a little dishonesty, a little half-truth. It seems like we just a little bit is never enough. We start having a little dishonesty, and a lot more has to follow after that. Okay? So, we can use something like that. Now, in the book, that's in the Dangerous Devotions for Guys, okay? But in the book, it'll talk about where you can get the solutions. Most of the stuff is really easy to get. There's one solution you have to order online. That one gets a little pricey, so you talk to other parents. Rather than saying, oh, I won't do this one, this little bottle here, it'll do it 12 times, okay? So what you do is you talk to some other parents, go together with some of them, and so then you can switch off, because you're not going to be doing this 12 times, okay? Now, what I'd like to do is give you some tips, some things that are really important, I think. He talked about hurdles in the last situation. We want to talk about some more of those things, obstacles that can slow you down, or things that we want to do to help make this as successful for you as we can. So let's go over 13 tips really quickly. Number one, keep the kids involved with a fun activity or an object lesson. This is what we've been talking about. A devotion where they just have to listen is very, very tough to pull off as they get older. So you want something that they can do. And guys, I want you to really think. Family devotions is your ticket to do some things you couldn't justify before. I'm serious. Use it, okay? Because there are times where, you know, there's something, boy, I'd really like to do this. Do it. Find out how to put it into a spiritual lesson, and who can argue with you, right? Okay, so we had a lot of fun in our family by doing that type of thing. Number two, follow up the activity with a brief tie into some biblical principle. Generally, it's 5 to 10 minutes. Just 5 to 10 minutes is all that you're really going to be talking about. Unless they want to talk about it more, then talk about it more, or talk about it more during the week. But what I'm trying to guard us against is often we tend to get too repetitive, we drum it in too much, and we can start reversing the effect. Kids generally get it the first time. So if you're getting repetitive just to try to drum or bring home a point, forget about it. They got it. They got it right away. And it's better, shorter is often better than longer. If you don't abuse the time factor, the kids won't dread it. They'll start looking forward to it. Okay, number three, have family devotion once a week, but make it good. Practice ahead of time. If you're going to do this thing with the microwave tonight with the kids, and you could, practice it once with your microwave ahead of time. Okay? Every microwave is a little different, okay? I like going on high if there's a high setting and just, you know, let it go. But you get really nervous when you're getting into it like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and it hasn't blown. And so either you got a dud or something really big is going to happen. So, no, nothing ever bad has happened, so that's good to know. I have had a door fly open, but never off, okay? So that's the key. And that's when I used a baggie and sealed it. So I don't do that anymore. Okay, four, pick a time that's best for their schedules. Their schedules. This is critical. If you pick a time that's causing them to miss something, you're going to have a really hard time holding their attention. Number five, if the kids ask a question that stumps you, don't sweat it. Okay, you can talk to the youth pastor, the pastor. Or just say to them, you know what? I'm not sure of that. I'm going to have to think on that. I'll get back to you. And then get back to them. It's a chance to talk about it again later in the week. Number six, if the kids seem bored, don't give up. All right? They might be rebelling on the whole thing a little bit. If they're teenagers, the older that they are, sometimes they just don't think it's going to be cool if you're just trying to start this out to be like, oh, gee, Dad. Oh, wow, Mom, this is really so. If you got that, you're in great shape. But if they're acting bored, don't give up. Number seven, if they have a hard time settling down, avoid ordering quiet. You don't want to do one of these things like, hey, we're having our spiritual time here with the Lord. You know? Not a good idea. There are worse things than kids thinking that learning about God is a fun time. So if they're messing around a little bit, you try to ride with it the best you can. That's a good thing. Okay, number eight. Try to include as many of the senses as possible. Something they can taste and smell is good. If you can incorporate food, do it. Snacks, treats, whatever. Many times we'll end up going to a fast food restaurant or something, even if it's just for a snack, especially if you've got guys, they're going to do better at listening while they're feeding themselves. Okay? Cheryl and I, my wife and I, that's my wife in the back, and we have a high school senior small group, and so we feed them. We go through some sort of a activity, object lesson, and we have food and we talk about it, and it works. Okay, number nine, a takeaway is a great idea. It could be a photo, a memento, something that will remind them of that lesson. We'll do one a little bit later, and I'll tie that in so you really get that, okay? Number 10, use your notes. Please, use your notes. It's okay to have notes in front of you or a book, okay? Kids don't mind if you have notes if you're prepared. Do you mind that I've got my notes here? I don't think so. Why? It's keeping me on track, and I'm not missing things. They're not going to mind that if you've got a book or notes in front of you. But if it looks like you're reading it for the first time, they will resent that. And they should. Because that shows that you really didn't care. So you want to look at it ahead of time. It's great to mark. If you've got a book, mark in the highlight. All those kinds of things. So they see that you've looked at it ahead of time. Okay? If you try to do it without notes, two things are going to happen and one result. The result is you're going to quit. You're going to quit. Why? Because you're going to try to memorize and it's just too hard. And so you won't be able to do it. Or you're going to go long and you're going to miss key points and the kids will be bored and you'll back away from it. Okay? So, number 11, go with the kids you have. If you're doing something that's good, if you're blowing up an egg in the microwave, could you do that if they had somebody over? I think so. Hey, you know what, guys? I want to look at something. I'm going to blow an egg up in the microwave with that. You know, you mind? Whatever. I mean, come on. They're not going to have a problem with that. So if it's good, you can do it. Same thing if you're having one of your kids are gone, they're off at this activity, whatever. Sometimes to wait till you get everybody together, you're going to miss a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So go with the people that you've got. Go with the kids you've got and try to catch up with that other one later. Otherwise, you'll miss. Number 12, reinforce the application throughout the week after the devotions. Try not to call it out on the kids as a club, okay? Again, it's not one of those things like, you know, hey, Nancy. This is exactly what... Remember when we had family devotions? That's exactly what we were talking about not doing. You know, not a good idea. Okay? But instead, call it out in yourself because I can almost guarantee you there'll be weeks that whatever it is you teach on, that's where God's going to show you your struggle. And so, maybe you talk unkind. All right? So, let's say we've got this couple over here. Okay? And all of a sudden he says something short, rude to his wife. And the kids are there. You think they heard that? Oh, yeah. They heard that. Maybe they're tuning out if it seems like it's normal to them, but we don't want it to be that way, do we? And so he said, oh, my goodness. Do you guys just hear how I talk to your mom? I am sorry. That was exactly what we were talking about in the devotions. I hate to say it, but that's exactly what we're not supposed to be doing, guys. And so I'm sorry, and you apologize to the kids, and we go on from there. And the kids will respect you more if you call it out on yourself. Okay, number 13. If you have multiple ages present, target the oldest. Always the oldest. Oftentimes if we're, you know, teaching some sort of group situation, they want to make sure that you're getting down to the level of, you know, these younger kids. Forget about them. It's your oldest. Okay? You can always catch up and explain more to, if you've got a spread, the younger ones later. Or ask your older ones to explain to them. That works. Why? Two reasons. Number one, you've got less time. You've got less time with the older one. They're going to be gone sooner. We got to hit them. They're in a more intense temptation area. We got to go with them. Okay? Second thing, if I bring it down to the younger one's level, the older one thinks it's kid stuff, and they're going to check out. Okay? So we keep it to the higher level. Okay. There's a number of things that you already have that we've talked about here that you can obviously do right away. Let's do another one. Have you ever electrocuted a pickle? Have you? Isn't that fun? Okay. All right. So let's do that. We're going to electrocute a pickle here. But what we're going to do is just to sort of explain while I pick a pickle out of here, okay, is we have got just an ordinary lamp cord. You do not need this little fancy stand I've got. I've only got that so you can see it a little bit better, okay? So we take a pickle, and we've got this lamp cord, cut off the ends, separate a little bit, strip out about an inch of it, okay? Everybody know what I'm talking about here? Taking a nail, wrap it around, throw a little electrical tape around it. Now we are ready, okay? So you can just do this on a paper plate, and that's easy enough, okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to stick one end in, and I'm just going to go real quick over what we'd be talking about, but let's say we're talking about the Holy Spirit in our life. Our old nature versus the new nature. This is you. This is the Holy Spirit. I'm making sure that the nails don't touch. On the tape, I've put a nail on each end of this pickle, okay? And this pickle wants to get off of here, and I don't blame him. He knows that something isn't good going to happen. Now, we're going to plug this in. Almost immediately, you can generally start to hear it sizzle, right? Then you start seeing a little steam come out of it, and you will get like fireworks inside here. You will see this thing light up, and there's this battle going on inside there. And we use this to talk about the old nature and the new nature, and the only way to stop this battle is either quench the spirit or remove the old nature. Pull one of those up. Okay, let's talk about one that you can do really easily. Let's say your kids, you want to talk to them about dating issues. Taking them to a local used car lot. This is Beauty is a Beast. Really effective to talk about dating. Okay? So you go to a used car lot. Go on a Sunday. There's no salesman there. You can get into a lot. Don't go to a huge one like a CarMax, but go to something more local. All right? You might check it out ahead of time. Make sure there's enough used cars, enough selection, but not so big that you'd lose track of them. And say, okay, for our family devotion time, we're going to go to this used car lot, and I want you to pick out your dream car truck. Price is no object. We're not buying anything. Okay? And so you've got 10 minutes, pick out your dream car truck, and then meet back here, and so you can keep an eye on everybody, all right? And now, one by one, they take you if you've got several kids. And so let's say we've got Nancy here. So, all right, Nancy, take us to your dream car truck. So Nancy goes over to that car, and we take a picture of her by it. And now tell us why you picked this. And so you do that with each one of the kids. And generally, you're going to hear things like, well, with a guy, I don't like the way that looks, or I can imagine what the guys would say if I pulled up in that. You know, or this thing's just so powerful, it's so fast, whatever, okay? Girls, oftentimes they'll say things as deep as, it's so cute, all right? Anyway, so we do that, and then go to a fast food restaurant, and then you talk about it. Say, you know what, I noticed nobody said, well, here's the car I'd pick, but if we were really buying it, I'd want a mechanic to look at it. They don't think of that generally, and if they did, wow, you've got an exception, and you can build on that. But you know what? But a mechanic looking at the engine would be a pretty good idea, right? If you want this car to go the distance, wouldn't that be a good idea? Well, yeah, it would be. Okay, same thing happens when we look at the opposite sex. See, as guys, oftentimes we're looking at this girl and we say, oh, I like her lines. She looks good. Can you imagine what the guys would say if I walked up with her on my arm? Oh, wow. You know? Or the girls, again, the depth. He's so cute. Okay? It's surface stuff. But if you want a relationship that's going to go the distance, you need to know about their heart, right? Who's the only one that can reveal their heart? God. God knows the hearts. And so we impress our kids, look, if you want a relationship that's going to go the distance, you better know about their heart. And so we got to stay in tune with God and ask Him to reveal the girl's heart so that we don't just get attracted to surface stuff, something that might break down. We want a relationship that goes the difference. Okay, we're going to keep going. Food frenzy. We can talk about that at the booth. That's a real fun thing. You just go out to the grocery store and teach them a great lesson through that. Having family devotions isn't a magic cure-all, okay? But, and you heard it over there today, and I'll just reinforce the fact that as you lead family devotions, you will find that you shape up areas that you're getting sloppy as a Christian. It happens, and often you don't see it now. It's what happens when you get down the road a number of years and you look back and you say, you know what? All these little adjustments were being made because I was teaching something to the kids. Yes, I'm learning things, but also I'm more aware of it. And the Holy Spirit uses it in our life, and we end up in a very different place as adults than we would have if we weren't teaching, because God uses the stuff with us. And so that to me is one of the most important things. It changes how we live. Now, having said that, some of you don't feel qualified maybe to lead in some sort of family devotional time. Sometimes the devil reminds us of past sins and failures, and he says, who are you to teach the kids? You hypocrite. You've disqualified yourself. Remember what you did? Okay, he tells that to everybody. Okay? Don't let that stop you. Now, if you're involved in something, you're involved in some addiction, okay, or some sin that you know that you're hiding, you're living a secret life, well, yeah, you better start getting his help to break free from that. But don't delay teaching your kids. Don't let something in your past stop you from making it better for your kids, okay? That's just his way to trick you into not protecting them, to keep them vulnerable. And when you mess up, fess up, okay? Don't cover up. Say you're sorry and you move on. This is critical for our own life. It's critical for our kids. All right, let's do a few more examples. Here's one. You know, you could take the kids, if you took them on a fishing trip or something like that, that'd be really effective. But let's say you're not even doing that. You can just get a tackle box if you don't have one. Borrow one from somebody. Okay, let's have somebody, let's have you hold this. Well, you know what? I'll just sit there. I'll hold it up. But I talk with my hands too much, and I'm going to end up hooked. Okay, so you can hold it. All right, so we get these a tackle box. Ask your kids to look through it. Look at all the lures. You ask like, you know, four questions. Basically, you're going to ask this. Why are there so many lures? Why do fishermen have so many lures? And what kind of answers might you get? Yeah, different kinds of fish. Okay, good. All right, second question. How does a fish bite something like this with these big hooks hanging off it? What's the answers? What might be the answers that we might get? Attractive. It's attractive. Yeah, they're hungry. Yeah, what else? It's moving. Yeah, it's going fast. He doesn't see it. Or maybe the water's murky. Or maybe, we don't know, but maybe they see the hooks and they just think they can avoid them. We're not sure on that. Okay, third thing, what do fishermen generally do with the fish they catch? One of four things. What things do they do? What? Throw it back. Eat them. Stuff them. Yeah. Okay, what else? One more. Brag about them. Five things they do with fish. Okay, and use them for bait. Okay, now, what's one quality fishermen generally have when it comes to fishing? Patience. Right. Okay. Now, see, we've done all this. We're just talking around a tackle box. Now we transition to spiritual truth. Did you know that the devil's a fisherman too? See, he's going to cast some things by you. He knows what you like. He's going to run these things by you because he's hoping that at some point you're going to be hungry enough. The chance to nibble. Or the waters of right and wrong are going to be murky enough where you nibble. Or where you think that you're smart enough to avoid the hooks and you nibble. And he's patient. He's got a lifetime to get you to this. And he's going to keep running things by you. You've got to know that this is a trap. Because I'll tell you what, the fish who thinks this is lunch becomes lunch, right? Because fishermen aren't out there feeding fish. They're out to catch them. Okay? So, now, we take them to the very last part. What does the devil do with the fish he catches, the people he catches? Almost like a fisherman, but one thing he doesn't do. He doesn't like to throw them back, does he? But he likes to devour them. The Bible tells us that. He likes to mount them up as a trophy. And I'm going to put this down. Okay, he likes to mount them up as a trophy. Hey, look at this Christian. Guess what I caught him doing? And he likes to use them as bait. Right? That's why sometimes you might have a daughter and they see some other girl that gets promiscuous at school. And you know what? There's no downside. There is no downside. The girl's more popular. She's got guys around her. She's doing fine. She's happy. Life is great. No. She's sitting there with hooks in her mouth. Devil just hasn't pulled her in yet. He's using her as bait to make it look like everything's okay. He's going to reel her in. You don't want your daughter to be caught like that, okay? So, hey, a really effective way to teach our kids about temptation. Okay. Let's take a look at... We're going to try to get two more in, okay? So here's what we need. I need three volunteers up here, okay? I need one to stand over there, one to stand over there, and one to join me, okay? And we're going to have just a little race here, and we're going to go really quick. All right, now, here's what they're going to do with this. We're going to ask them to unroll this roll of toilet paper, okay? Now, you can unroll it like this, or you can go like this. But if you rip it, Let's say three times, you're disqualified, okay? Then you just sit down. Okay, so you can go like this. Okay, I only did it twice. Or you can go like this. Right? You can go as fast as you can. Okay? Now, you and I are going to work together. But we're going to have to do two rolls of toilet paper. Okay? Twice as much, and you two can start. Okay? So you go. We're going to do it a little bit differently, okay? Here's what we're going to do. Now, we're going to need you to stand right here. If you can stand here. And if you can hold this. Can you hold this? Yeah, that's good. Now, you're going to have to kind of hold it on an angle. Boy, it's heavy for you, huh? Okay, so let's do this. Yeah, you're going to have it on an angle? Good. We want to keep it on that angle so that it stays on there. Okay, you just hold it, and I'll turn it on. There we go. Okay, you just aim it however you want. All right, good. Now we'll turn that off. Let's load you again, and you're going to do it again. Are you ready? And here we go. They're really working hard. All the way. That a girl. Good. That looks cool. Okay, good deal. You did very good. All right, thanks. You can sit down. And you folks can sit down too. You did a great job. Here's the thing, is we had our volunteers on the side here. They're working as hard as they can, and he was doing good. They were both doing good. They really couldn't go any faster than they were, could they? Could they have worked any harder? I don't think so. And then we came along in the middle, a little different way, and just blew them away. All right? Here's the thing. This is like life. See, this is the way a lot of us live as Christians. We're working as hard as we can. We're busy, we're busy, we're busy. We're working as hard as we can. We can't go any faster. We can't do any more than we're already doing. The other is a picture with life with the Holy Spirit. See, this is us working. We can't live the Christian life, can we? We can't. It's supposed to be lived with the help, with the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Then we can do things that are amazing. And the changes in us are real. It's not just something we do on the surface and fake to look good. Okay, the changes become real. All right, we can do that and teach our kids about life with the Holy Spirit. And all we did was take our leaf blower and bolt a paint roller on the front of that. Okay, let me tell you about one other quick one and then we're going to wrap it up. Pornography is a really important thing to talk to our teens about. Okay, so here's one you can do just so easily. Take a glass with sugar in it. Okay, so we got just pure white sugar about halfway. Go to the hardware store, plumbing aisle, and you pick up this Rudo drain opener. It's sulfuric acid. Okay, you are going to wear gloves, chemical resistant gloves, and you are going to wear goggles when you do this. Okay, nasty stuff. So what we do is we pour, and we give the kind of the quantities in there. We pour a little of this in there, and we start stirring it. Just stir it with like a pencil, okay? And at first it sort of looks like iced tea, and it gets darker and darker. It looks sort of tar-like. And then it starts to bubble and steam, and it rises up. You remember those, guys, remember those little snakes you would light when you were a kid? Okay, sort of like that. Here's how it turns out, okay? That is ugly, and it's hard, and it stinks like crazy, which is why we're not doing it inside. Okay? And we say, you know what? This cup of sugar, this is sex. Good, pure, the way God intended it, made to sweeten life. And the sulfuric acid, that's pornography. You add that into your life, and you are going to twist and distort and destroy some things that God made really good. Sugar is a great stuff. We love it on cereal. We love it on all kinds of things. It's great. Yeah, God made sex great. Is it any wonder the devil wants us to distort it and wreck it? And this is how he does it. And so in there, we talk about pornography and what it does and how to break free. Warning about it. Okay, let's look at one last picture and close it up here. I was driving to Colorado. The roads were bad. It's hard to see that picture. The roads were terrible. It was icy, windy, snowing, dark. I stopped for the night. The next morning, I saw this person who didn't stop for the night. And I know that he had a destination that he was going to, and he didn't reach it. Okay? And I'm sure if he could have done it all over again, he would have driven slower. He would have stopped sooner for the night. He'd have paid closer attention, got two hands on the wheel, got off his cell phone, I don't know what. But this is similar to the job of parenting. The job of raising godly kids. That's our destination. Getting them safely home, as they talked about, right? That's our destination. We can have the best of intentions. But that doesn't guarantee we're going to reach that destination. Sometimes we need to slow down, get both hands on the wheel, make some changes, make some adjustments, if we're going to be successful with that, if we're going to get to that destination. And what we're asking, what we're calling you to do is to make those changes, make those adjustments. Sometimes it's going to be your personal life. I got to change some things about me because I'm living a double standard. I'm living a lie. I need to get serious with God. I need to ask Him to help change me. I'm going to give Him permission to change my heart. And also, just getting started with the kids, getting started with devotionals, things that you can do. Okay? Making some changes and adjustments. I want to encourage you to start family devotions this week. He talked about it just a few minutes ago. Start it this week. Start it now. And I'm telling you, you will never, ever regret it. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for Your love and for Your mercy on us. And God, I pray that You'd help us to make the changes, make the adjustments. That we would get to the destination of raising godly kids. Kids that love You, follow You, obey You, trust You, and not forget You. And we thank You for it, Lord. Help each one here in this room. Amen. Thanks very much.